This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Now, today, we're going to talk a little bit about blood sugar. Some common concerns about unregulated blood sugar. Some things that affect your blood sugar, besides the obvious, right? Ice cream, candy bars, soda, right? We know that stuff. But what are some hidden sources of sugar that might affect your blood sugar? But then two, more naturally, how to manage that. So definitely one that affects tons of people. So it's going to be great information. Now, if you've never heard about Greenwood Family Chiropractic, we're very different than the average pain-based allopathic healthcare model, right? Most people go to the doctors because there's something that's wrong. Something on them hurts. Yet, here's the difference. Our office, when you're looking at true preventative care, wellness, it's not waiting until something is wrong to fix it, right? The unfortunate part about the United States and what we do is we have this whole, if it ain't broke, don't fix it kind of mentality, right? I'm feeling good. I don't need to go to the doctor. And the problem with that is that that's not real true preventative or wellness care, right? And even when we talk about more of the mainstream, quote unquote, preventative, right? Because a lot of insurance policies, sick care, right? That I call it sick care. Not health care, sick care, because it's caring for the sick. It's not creating health. It tends to have preventative care. I believe it's misnamed. Because when you look at something like a mammogram, right? They'll consider a mammogram preventative care. But tell me, when does a mammogram ever prevent cancer? It doesn't. It's early detection, right? Absolutely. I'm all for early detection. But you can never say, hey, I have this mammogram. I see nothing, but I wanted to let you know in 6 months, we're going to find a tumor, right? It just doesn't. So it's not preventing anything. Having a mammogram is never going to prevent you from getting breast cancer. You know what happens? Having that mammogram is early detection. It finds it after the cancer is already there, right? That's not preventative. You're not preventing. Right. So that's one where it's figuring out, hey, how are we actually going to be proactive on our health? What are we going to do to put in that work and effort now so that we don't have to necessarily struggle to regain our health later? Right. So that's a big one. So before we get into sugar, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
So for today's Health in the News comes from CNN. Talks about FDA worried drug was risky. Now reports of death spark concern. So 2 years ago, Brendan Tine pled with the Food and Drug Administration to approve a drug that he was hopeful could finally bring his mother some peace. She could no longer move without assistance and had fallen victim to a debilitating and frightening psychosis that haunted many people with Parkinson's disease. He said she thinks that there are people in the house and animals are trying to get her, he told the FDA advisory committee. He believed that a new medication called Nuplazid, made by San Diego's based Acadia Pharmaceuticals was the answer. So Nuplazid's review was being expedited because it had been designated a quote-unquote breakthrough therapy, meaning that it demonstrated substantial improvement in patients with serious or life-threatening diseases compared to treatments already on the market. Congress created this designation in 2012 in an effort to speed up the FDA's approval process, which had long been criticized for being too slow. Around 200 drugs have been granted this designation since its creation, right? So most people may or may not realize that, again, there's an approval process you have to go through, right? You can't just have this drug and be like, perfect, put it on the market, because it's only gone through animal studies by that point. They have to go through human studies, see what the risks are, see what the benefits are. They have to have clinical trials, right? And so sometimes those take a while. You can't just take them for a day and be like, oh, everything's fine. It doesn't work like that. So basically in 2012, they said, here's this fast track. Now, still, to recommend approval, the advisory committee would have to find that the drug's potential benefit outweighed the risk for its intended patients. Some FDA officials concluded that Nuplazid's public health benefit was enough to merit approval of the drug. Their argument echoed the pleas of family members and caretakers, like Tyne. It could possibly help patients with no other alternative. Several of the people who spoke said their loved ones had been transformed during the clinical trials, though some said that there was no way for them to know whether they were on the Nuplazid or a placebo. But the physician who led the FDA's medical review warned that patients taking the drug during the company's clinical trial experienced serious outcomes, including death, at more than double the rate of those taking the placebo. The company's limited testing, he said, had not convinced him that the benefits outweighed the risk. So I think that's important. Anytime you have a medical test or a drug or a therapy, oftentimes there are risks associated with that. But especially with medication, you have to look, do the benefits outweigh the risks, or are the risks too great to really justify the benefits? So the committee voted 12-2 and recommended that the FDA approve Nuplazid for the treatment of Parkinson's disease psychosis based on a six-week study of about 200 patients. Six-week study, 200 patients. If you know anything about clinical trials for drug, that is incredibly small. Six-week study, 200 patients. Three previous studies of the drug did not show that it was effective in the medical review, though they showed a similar risk. Even some committee members who voted in favor of the drug expressed reservations. They said, I'm hoping that the risks are going to be small, and think that the benefits for some of those people who are very sick and those families affected by this, I think they're probably willing to take that risk. It hit the market in June of 2016. And as caregivers and families rushed to get this medication for their loved ones, sales climbed to roughly $125 million in 2017. So think about this, right, as a side note. So the clinical trial was a six-week study. You know, if you have Parkinson's, this is not a drug you're going to take for just 6 weeks. So what does that mean over 6 months or 6 years that you take it? And here's the problem, not just with this drug, but with many drugs, is that how do you know? Right. If you ask your doctor, OK, this drug has been in clinical trials for 6 weeks. So what are the side effects after 6 months? Or what are the side effects after 2 years? And you know what? Your doctor, your pharmaceutical rep, the drug companies, they can't tell you. They can't tell you because they don't know, because it's never been studied in humans that long. It's never been studied in animals that long. Right. So the FDA is criticized for their slow process. But if you or your loved one was on a medication for 3 years, wouldn't you like to see trials that show you the risk for that amount of time? They say, nope, we got to fast track it. So you think the amount of people who are on this drug, roughly 125 million in 2017, yet the clinical trial was in 200 people for 6 weeks. Do you not see anything wrong with that? Oh my goodness. They talk about, so Tyne got his mother on the drug as soon as it became available, and after trying it for months, he was devastated to see that it had done nothing to halt the awful progression of the disease. Her hallucinations became more frequent and harder to manage. Shortly after the drug's release, patients, family members, doctors, and other healthcare professionals started reporting adverse events possibly linked to the medication, including death, life-threatening incidents, falls, insomnia, nausea, and fatigue. They said in more than 1,000 reports, 1,000 reports, so five times more than that were in the clinical trial, patients continued to experience hallucinations. They said in November, an analysis released by a nonprofit healthcare organization, the Institute for Safe Medication Practices, warned that 244 deaths had been reported to the FDA between the drug's launch and March of 2017. The organization also noted that hundreds of reports suggested that the drug was not providing the expected benefits. You know, so it just goes on to the article. We'll post it on our Facebook page that said there's risks and benefits assessment of the new plaza remains unchanged. It's carefully monitored and regularly analyzed safety reports from both ongoing studies and adverse event reports. But the company noted that since the drug's approval, two studies had come out with more than 300 patients, right? Oh, wow. Two studies, 300 patients. That means what? 150 apiece? With Alzheimer's, did not find a difference in the number of deaths reported. Oh, good. More people didn't die. But what about all the other side effects, right? And so anytime you look, do the risks outweigh the benefits or the benefit outweigh the risks, right? It's just you have to look at that, because unfortunately, most healthcare providers aren't going to say, okay, here's this brand new drug. And by the way, some of the risks are death, hallucinations that don't go away, falls, insomnia, nausea, fatigue, life-threatening incidents. Oh, and by the way, really, it was done on 200 people, 6 weeks. There was three studies before that really saw no difference at all. So, but here you go. Let me know if it works for you. It's just unfortunate. You know what I mean? There's a time and a place for medicine. Don't get me wrong. I 100% believe in a time and a place for medicine. But when we're looking at this, you know, people are just desperate, right? They're hopeful with these. I can't fault them for that. You know, I can't fault them for that. But you have to analyze. Is it worth death, or is it worth the side effects that come with it, right? You have to think about in the FDA and all the approval of the drugs. At some point in time, they said this drug is safe for human consumption. Absolutely, it's safe until it's not safe and they pull it off the market, right? You look at Celebrex alone killed over 60,000 people before they took it off the market. But at some point, the FDA approved it and said, absolutely, this is safe. Killed 60,000 people before they took it off the market. They say, this isn't safe anymore. But why? So why was it safe 6 months ago? Because you didn't know it killed that many people? How long were your clinical trials with how many people? Or was it one that you thought would just radically change the world? So you expedited the process so it didn't have to go through proper testing, right? I would want a slow process to get drugs approved, but they said, nope, let's create this fast track, right? We have to be cognizant of our health. You know, and again, when we talk about true prevention, you know, that's the viewpoint. Let's do everything that we possibly can in our powers to try to maintain our health so we don't deteriorate. So it's not an option. We don't have a choice, right? You have to take your health into your own hands. It is your most important asset. So Greenwood Family Chiropractic, if you want to learn more, 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. When we come back, what are some foods that aren't sweet that might impact your blood sugar? Talk about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
You know I love that organic cooking. I always ask for more. And they call me Mr. Natural, on down to the health food store. I only eat good sea salt, white sugar don't touch my lips. And my friends is always begging me to take them on macrobiotic trips. Yes, they are.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or you can check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. If you want to schedule an appointment, initial exam, consultation, just $25. If we need to do anything else, we will go through what that looks like. If you have insurance, right? Unfortunate sick care, right? Thank goodness we have insurance for catastrophic care. You know, I always, this is a side note, but I think applicable now since we're talking about, you know, really investing in our health, choosing health care and not sick care. When you look at insurance, and I think people get health care insurance a little bit more only because oftentimes when we have patients who come in the office, we say, hey, do you have any insurance you'd like us to check and verify? The average person hands us the card and says, yeah, I mean, you can take it and check it, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't cover anything. The average person now has a $3,000 deductible, which this is funny. So my husband's military, right? Joined when he was 18. He has currently been through 5 tours, is preparing for his 6th with the Marines. Several of them special ops. Not here nor there. I was just bragging on my husband. But so when he gets out and he goes into the reserves, right? After, so he's 18. He's had 14 active years. And he was trying, you know, he's talking about whether he's going to stay in or get out. I'm like, well, if you decide to stay in the reserves, just know this. You know, our family could benefit from health insurance, right? Because it's incredibly expensive. And so it's one of the funniest things ever because it was like I was talking to an alien, like truly an alien, lived under a rock alien. He's 18. So before you're 18, you don't understand anything about health insurance, right? You're a child. And then when he got out, he never had to worry about health insurance for a decade and a half because anytime he was sick, he'd just go to the meds, the medics, be on base, right? He just hop over there. And he's generally healthy. So even then, it's random. Like when the Marines gave him MRSA, like he had to go then. But I was like, okay, so here's how it works. Every month you pay a premium. He's like, okay. I'm like, so say the premium for our family is $300. It's like, okay, so every month we pay $300. He's like, okay. Like, but then what happens is typically we'll have a high deductible. So say I have to pay $3,000 and as a family, we have to pay $6,000 out of pocket. And he's like, right. So we pay $300 a month to go towards that. I'm like, no, that just goes into like the elusive payout that they pay people for. Right. So no, the $300 doesn't go through. He's like, so we have to pay $3,000 of our own money. I said, yeah. And guess what happens when we meet the $3,000? He said, what? I said, then they cover it a certain percentage. They don't cover it 100%. They only cover it like 70 or 80%. So we still have to pay 20 or 30%. And he said, what? I said, yes. But then that 20 or 30% goes to our out of pocket, which might be $7,000. So once I pay $7,000 out of pocket for the year, then they'll cover at 100%. And I said, and then guess what happens at the beginning of the year? He said, what? I said, it starts all over. It goes to zero. It all goes away. He said, this sounds like fraud. I was like, you're just like a little alien. This is so crazy. But yeah, I mean, you have to think, just like your homeowner's insurance, your renter's insurance, it pays for catastrophic care, right? Pays for floods. It pays for fires, tornadoes. It doesn't pay to increase the investment, the value of your home. Right? It doesn't pay for hardwood floors. It doesn't pay for granite countertops. You know, It's designed for catastrophic care. And unfortunately, the healthcare model that we have is the same way. It's designed to help you when you're sick. It's not designed to get you well, right? That's what you have to take in your own hands. So, yeah, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Wellness care. True health and wellness. Now, let's talk about blood sugar a little bit. We talk about blood sugar. We have to pay attention to the prevalence. I'm telling you. Diabetes now is on the rise. We talk a lot about this when we talk about family health and wellness, because if you really remember, type 2 diabetes was not always called type 2 diabetes. If you remember back several years ago, type 2 diabetes was actually called adult onset diabetes, adult onset. But the problem with that now is that children are actually experiencing type 2 diabetes. So they no longer could call it adult onset diabetes. It was called type 2 diabetes. And basically with type 2 diabetes, and that's more what we're talking about, type 1 diabetes is where basically the theory is that your body was created to not be able to handle sugars. The receptors are wrong. Type 2 diabetes is that, hey, everything in your body is actually working perfectly. The problem is that you bombard your body so much with sugar that the receptors actually burn out. They don't know what to do anymore. So literally they say, hey, I don't know what to do. So they burn out. They say, I'm overworked. I can't handle all of this. So when you think about statistics, they're talking about if the trend continues with diabetes, we will spend in the next 10 to 15 years, we will spend more in care for diabetes than we will for heart disease and cancer combined. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. They looked in 2015, 84 million Americans aged 18 and older suffer from prediabetes. I believe now it says in 2015, it was the seventh leading cause of death. I believe now it's the fourth leading cause of death in the United States. Cost of diabetes. So this was actually updated very recently. This is March 22nd of 2018. Total cost of diagnosed diabetes in 2017, $327 billion. Total cost of diagnosed diabetes. The direct medical cost associated with diabetes, $237 billion. Additional. And $90 billion and reduced productivity, right? Think about that. That was a crazy number for me. $90,000. I mean, sorry, $90 billion in reduced productivity. Because of diabetes. That's crazy. That's crazy. Now, look at, if you don't know how to read your blood, this is just, I'm just going to go through it relatively quick. So fasting blood sugar, normal for fasting blood sugar should be less than 100. If you're looking at 100 to 125 for fasting blood sugar, you're pre-diabetic. Anywhere over 126 or higher is considered diabetic. Now, typically when you're looking at fasting glucose, you're looking at more of an immediate viewpoint, right? This is the last like days to weeks. Your A1C is often a better picture. And the reason why it's a better picture is because it will actually look at average blood glucose over the past 2 to 3 months. So normal is less than 5.7%. Pre-diabetes is 5.7 to 6.4, and over 6.5 is considered diabetic. I think this is interesting too. And I don't know how often they actually do this with the average person. I don't hear about this as often with the average person, although as opposed to pregnant women. So they have the oral glucose tolerance test. Right? Pregnant women, you know, the glucose tolerance test is just, you're never like, yes, I have this glucose tolerance test. But basically what happens, it's a 2-hour test that checks your blood glucose levels before and 2 hours after you drink a special sweet drink. Basically, they make you pound this disgusting, over sugary, chemically dyed, full of known carcinogenic chemicals. They make you chug it, and then they make you wait an hour. They make you urinate, and then they test to see what was your body able to handle, and what was it like, oh my gosh, so it has this spillover or overflow. It's like, we're basically going to slam you with a whole bunch of stuff that'll give you diabetes to see if your body can handle it, to see if you have diabetes. I'm like, this is terrible. So when I was pregnant with my son, I had to fight a little bit because not everyone loves this. But if you are pregnant or know anyone who's pregnant, so basically what I did is I said, I don't want to drink all of your chemicals. So how many grams of sugar? And I want to say it's been like a year and a half, but I want to say it was like 50 grams of sugar, which is a lot of sugar in this little container. So I said, what if I get my own 50 grams? So what I did is I got a naked drink. So those like kind of Sucha naked, they typically have a lot of sugar in them. That, and I had some organic fruit snacks, and I ate that instead. Sugar, sugar, right? But I don't want to do all the chemical dyes. I don't want to have all the added carcinogens that are in there with the chemicals. Like, if you're gonna make me do it, I'll do it. But let me do it on my better sources of sugar than yours. But so they look at the spillover in the urine. Again, I'm not really too sure how often that happens in the average population, but is every single pregnant woman will go through the glucose tolerance test. So you got to look. Basically, it's how is your body handling those sugars? But again, the problem is figuring out that it's not just the sweet stuff that turns into sugar. What most people don't realize that typically it's not the added sugar in the diet that is, I mean, it's still problematic, but maybe not as problematic, that people don't realize that carbohydrates turn into sugar in the body, right? And so I had a patient who was, when we went through this, she was like, I just don't know if I believe this. So I printed her off a Harvard study that actually went through and talked about how the digestive system breaks down carbohydrates into sugars, which enter the bloodstream. So there are different types of carbohydrates, right? There's two types. There's simple and complex. Simple carbohydrates are composed of sugars, fructose and glucose. They have a simple structure that are composed of one sugar or two sugars, so monosaccharides, disaccharides. Simple carbohydrates easily and quickly are utilized for energy because they oftentimes raise the blood sugar faster and secrete insulin from the pancreas. Now, complex carbohydrates have a more complex chemical structure, three or more sugars. Many complex carbohydrates contain fiber, vitamins, minerals. They take longer to digest, which means they have a less of an immediate impact on your blood sugar, right? So it's really kind of looking at the difference between simple carbohydrates and complex carbohydrates. So some examples of simple carbohydrates would be something like white bread and pasta, tortillas, fruit, sugar, honey, milk, fruit juice, right? Those are the simple carbohydrates. Complex carbohydrates are things like vegetables, whole grains, beans, right? So really when we're looking at carbohydrates, the one thing that we really want to pay attention to is how many simple carbohydrates are you eating? And the way that you can break down which are some good carbohydrates versus some not as good carbohydrates is looking at the glycemic load. So we're going to tell you more about the glycemic load next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Videos, tips, deals, and more. Find Greenwood Family Chiropractic on Instagram. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Fire, got that fire when you thought she'd fade away. The
today we are talking sugar. Sugar, spice, and everything nice, except for diabetes. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or you can always go online and schedule an appointment at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation is $25. Just let us know you came from the radio. I can't stop laughing at myself. I really need to think about coming back, like what to say other than before I do it. But I appreciate you guys still listening. Now let's talk about glycemic load. If you can't laugh at yourself, who can you laugh at? Now, some of the lower glycemic load foods, this is the one that you want to tend to for carbohydrates. I know there are so many times that we kind of demonize carbohydrates, and I think some of them should be, you know, some of them should fall into that category, but not all of them per se. So like when you look lower glycemics, or when you are looking fruit wise, berries, Granny Smith apples, lemons, limes, grapefruit, the ones that aren't incredibly sweet. Beans have a higher fiber count. So it's one that, although a carbohydrate, doesn't move your blood sugar as much. When you're looking at most vegetables, right? Not potatoes, not corn, we'll go into that. But when you're looking at cucumbers, zucchinis, peppers, right? Like spinach, kale, tomatoes, those all have a lower glycemic index. Midline for the glycemic index, you're looking at more of the grains, barley, brown rice, oatmeal, rice cakes, whole grains. That has more of a medium glycemic load. So that's going to affect your blood sugar level more than, say, having a bowl of beans or veggies, right? The high glycemic index, you're looking at really starchy vegetables. So you're looking at things like baked potatoes, French fries, cereals, couscous, white rice, white flour pasta. Those are ones that have a higher glycemic load. So those are going to spike your blood sugar more. I always play typically with an article. It's a video. And I do it at a lot of our events because Dr. Oz went through and he took a handful of women who were fasting. So first thing in the morning, they got up. They took their fasting blood sugar and then they ate a Snickers bar. Half an hour later, they tested their blood sugar again. The next day, the women woke up, same thing, fasting blood sugar was taken. They had two pieces of whole wheat bread, two pieces. And then half an hour later, they took their blood sugar again. And they found in over 80% of the women, their blood sugar increased more eating the two pieces of whole wheat bread than it did with having the Snickers bar. Isn't that crazy? So it's not encouraging you to have candy bars for breakfast, but really being cognizant of if, you know, you're like, hey, I'm doing really great. I'm having these two pieces of toast, but what effect does that have on your glycemic index? Because again, your body doesn't know if it's coming from a candy bar or that sugar is coming from a candy bar or whole wheat bread or rice, right? All it knows is this is affecting my glycemic index. This is making my blood sugar raise. So that's really what we want to pay attention to, because the more that we do that, I don't think much about it, you know, having a baked potato at dinner or having French fries for lunch, but it has a huge, huge effect on your overall glycemic index. So that's really what we want to pay attention to, is what's increasing our blood sugar. So that has to be number one, right? I can give you all of these more natural remedies, but if you consistently keep eating tons of sugar or the carbohydrates that turn into sugar, it's not going to have any effect on your A1C or your fasting glucose. Now, when you're looking at some more natural remedies to help improve your blood sugar levels, one is obviously consuming the lower glycemic index, the higher fiber foods. Another one, and we kind of talked about that. Another one is apple cider vinegar. So for this, some people will just take a shot of it. I myself cannot handle that. It makes me ugh, just talking about it. So what I do is I take a glass of water. I add a couple ounces of the apple cider vinegar, and then I sweeten it with the liquid stevia that we have in the office. It's New Naturals. It's a liquid stevia, alcohol-free. And I sweeten it with that, and it tastes like apple cider. It's actually really good. So it's a good, refreshing treat. You get lots of water in there as well, but beneficial. Another one that I think you really have to pay attention to is your stress level, right? Your stress increases cortisol. Cortisol is your stress hormone. Cortisol has a direct effect on your insulin levels. So let me give you an example. I got blood work done and it was fasting. And I remember literally thinking, if they don't take my blood right now, I'm going to die. You know that feeling when I'm just like, my blood sugar is so low. I'm going to pass out, throw up. I don't know what's going to happen, but I need to eat something or I'm going to die. And so I went in early and I said, hey, I'm really sorry. I know this is not my appointment time, but I need you to take my blood now or I have to reschedule. He said, absolutely. So I took my blood. And when I got back, I was talking with the natural practitioner that I'm friends with. And she was like, oh, yeah, your blood sugar's up. You just probably weren't fasting. And I was like, no, I was fasting. And I'm pretty sure I thought I was going to die. I know I was fasting. And she said, oh, well, are you stressed? I said, no. Don't you run a practice? Yes. Isn't your husband deployed? Yes. Aren't you a little bit stressed then? No, I got this. But what I didn't realize is that I was really stressed because I was eating awesome, probably better than when my husband was home because I didn't really have anyone fun to have cheat meals with, you know? So, my blood sugar was high. So stress is a huge component of blood sugar, right? Because I was eating great. I was exercising a ton, but my blood sugar was high. Another one to look at that can affect it too is sleep. You know, that's another really vital component because a lack of sleep increases cortisol. Cortisol, again, has a great effect on your blood sugar. Now, supplement-wise, ones that are helpful for you. One supplement is cinnamon. So cinnamon actually can help. It's been shown to help curb blood sugar by lowering insulin resistance. So in one study, volunteers ate anyone from 1 to 6 grams of cinnamon for 40 days. So think about this. So 1 gram of ground cinnamon is about half a teaspoon. So 3 teaspoons. This is one where people are like, can I just add it? I'm like, oh, you probably want to take more of like a supplement. But researchers found that the cinnamon cut cholesterol by about 18% and blood sugar levels by 24%. So really great to add in that cinnamon. 40 days, they were looking 6 grams is likely where you're going to be most effective in affecting insulin and increasing glucose transportation into the cells. But it's a lot of cinnamon, so typically that's going to be one that you have to see more of a supplement than just adding it to your food, unfortunately. The other one that's really awesome is adding chromium. So chromium is a trace mineral needed by the body in small amounts for healthy function. Trace minerals. So chromium plays a role in the insulin signaling pathway that allows for our bodies to control the amount of sugar we take in, helping balance blood glucose levels and giving us more stable energy. Also kind of great is that research shows that chromium can help protect DNA chromosomes from damage, which means chromium may be able to halt cell mutations that can lead to various chronic diseases, which makes sense when you talk about, hey, chromium is relatively important for what we do. So recommended dosage for adults aged 19 to 35, 35 micrograms for men, 25 micrograms for women, right? So 35 micrograms of chromium for men, 25 micrograms for women. So what are some sources? Because not just through supplementation. I mean, if we can get this from diet, that's obviously where we want to, right? Supplements are designed to fill in the gap, not to replace a good, healthy diet. So some of the best foods for obtaining chromium naturally, one is broccoli. Broccoli's great. It has 22 micrograms. For one cup of broccoli, there's 22 micrograms. Garlic, basil, grass-fed beef, oranges, turkey, green beans, apples, bananas. You ready for this? 5 ounces can have anywhere from 5 ounces of red wine can have anyone from 1 to 13 micrograms. Psh. So really, if I'm a woman and I need 25 micrograms, 5 ounces, 6 ounces is a full pour of wine. I can have a couple glasses of wine and I can meet my daily intake of chromium. I'm just kidding. But still, on a more serious note, that would be fun if that just, I wonder what else red wine has that I can not have to eat broccoli. Oh my gosh, I think I'm so funny. All right. So just some natural, easy ways to start really addressing your blood sugar more. Because really, when you're talking about the detriment of prediabetes and diabetes, you know, you think someone with diabetes oftentimes can lose their sight, can lose their limbs. Like, it's not anything that you want to play with. So one that, again, we need to be proactive, because especially too with the likelihood of prediabetes and diabetes, it's one that type 2 diabetes is 100% lifestyle related. The great news means that it's 100% lifestyle reversed. Your lifestyle got you there. Changing your lifestyle can get you back. How amazing is that? Tell me you don't feel powerful when you know that your health is 100% your choice. How awesome. But to be empowered of that. So if you're like, oh, I'm halfway there, but I need a little bit more guidance, let us walk you through that. You know, that's something that we always have. I just went through another nutritional consult with a patient more recently who had questions about supplementation and nutritional changes and, you know, how to be able to ultimately reach those goals. This is what we're here for you. This is we're part of your health journey. We are part of that path. Let us be there for you. And that's what we do. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853. That's 893-2853. Or you can schedule an appointment at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. It's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Schedule an appointment. If you let us know that you came from the radio, initial exam and consultation is just $25. Also, too, if you go onto our greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, you'll be able to see that we also have all of our events online as well. So if you ever want to know more what we're doing in the office, how you can be involved and a part of it, know you can just check us out online, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Again, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. I look forward to be able to keep educating you about how to feel empowered, about how to take your health into your own hands. But always remember that your power is on.